I mean, honestly, I could. How bad is that? It's not bad at all. What's wrong with that?
Until they shut us down, but whatever. We'll make some money off of it.
I've been to Raider games. Those guys know what's shutting those guys down. Come on, man. I get off on Hegenberger and I make that turnaround because I'm trying to find the G lot. Look out, man.
Those are our people.
Oh, man. No, those are our people.
All righty. Joe versus the bookie. Are you ready what Fortenbaugh's got?
I'm writing this down.
You know I'm a big Fortenbaugh guy.
Who's not? Like, are you saying I'm not? Listen, this is how big I am. I listened to Joe this morning, who's doing a radio show in Chicago, at 5:40 this morning.
I'm a football guy.
Yeah. He's a football guy. I'm a because Fortenbaugh wins.
I'm a Fortenbaugh guy.
And Fortenbaugh's made me money.
And Fortenbaugh struggled this year a little bit, hasn't he?
No, he's actually doing real. He was 6-1 last week for the season. He's 75-63-2.
I have
That's
been
damn
here.
Good.
I've been here in a couple weeks where he kind of honed up to having a rugged weekend.
He did me real well when I was in Reno.
I like that.
So
what the kind of friends to have?
Whenever I head to the Silver State, I'm texting some Fortenbaugh. He always laughs. He goes, "You never text me throughout the year, but it's always the same time of the year. I'll be sending a text going, hey, I need some picks." All right, here we go. He likes Alabama given the 14 over Oklahoma.
He likes Alabama given 14. So he thinks they're going to roll.
Roll them.
He thinks they're going to roll. Okay.
Bonus play on this, Alabama and the over at 46. So that's a lot of points.
Alabama.
Because you're saying Oklahoma's going to score two, but they're going to beat them by 14.
So you're saying take the over, huh?
He's saying over and Bama.
All right. And Bama, does Bama roll it up on teams?
Rogue Tide! Rogue damn Tide!
Love that.
All right. Clemson, -12.5 over Notre Dame.
Clemson, minus how much?
12.5.
They're giving 12.5 to the Irish?
To the Irish.
You got to take the Irish in that.
Dabo.
You going Dabo on that?
I think we're going to have Alabama-Clemson. Joe agrees. It looks like we're going to have Alabama-Clemson.
And is he saying that they're going to cover that 11.5, 12.5?
No.
No?
So then for Missouri-Oklahoma State, he likes the over of 74. He likes UCF getting 7.5 over LSU. Ohio State, 6.5 over Washington. And then he likes Texas getting 13 over Georgia.
Who breaks down those ball games? I've got to be honest with you. My eyes are glazing over at this point.
Really?
I can get excited about the national championship.
I love bowl games. I don't care. I'll watch Cheez-It. I'll watch the Franklin All-American Bowl.
I did watch Cheez-It this year.
What was the one I was watching? It was really funny. I watched Lockheed Martin, of course, Army putting up 70.
I'm a fan of Lockheed Martin. I'm a fan of their products, so I'm a fan of their bowl game.
It was some strange name, the Jared Bringingham Bowl that I was watching. I can't even, I'm looking at it. Oh, the Frisco Bowl. I watched a little Ohio against San Diego State. When people say there are too many bowl games, oh, the Jared Birmingham Bowl, I was watching that, Memphis against Wake Forest. When people say there are too many bowl games, I then say to you, well, then what are you watching? You don't like football? What would you rather watch other than football at this time of the year?
Are you going to watch the AAF when they start in February?
What's that?
The All-American Football or Alliance of American Football. That's the thing that Ebersol's kids putting together. They start in February. A lot of NFL guys are hooked up into the AAF. They play February.
February, you're now getting into my time of the year. It's now we're transitioning to baseball season. As you're on to Cincinnati, I'm on to baseball season. So I don't know how much of the AAF you call it.
I think there are two A's, AAF.
I might be, if it's not too late, I might be at your Michigan State against Oregon, the red box ball at Levi Stadium.
Hey, can you get me, it's 12 noon kickoff.
Yeah.
It's 12 noon
so
kickoff.
So we're getting back, I have no time we're getting back from Kansas City.
Get me Purdy's digits, because I gotta see if he can get me some ticks. I need four.
You need four?
I might need six, but I need four. Hey, red box ball, Jim Cosmore needs six.
Yeah. Hey, red box, you want some serious sponsorship? Because when I think about bowl games and I want to go to a game, I think of the Red Box Bowl at Levi Stadium.
I do. Are you kidding me?
Once again, that's a noon kickoff, Michigan State, Oregon. That's free promotion, Red Box. Give us some love here.
It's a tradition like no other, right? Nothing says New Year's Eve day like the Red Box Bowl.
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
All right, NFL. Joe likes Bills. 4.5 over the Dolphins. He likes your Chicago Bears. We don't have the Chicago Bears. It's a great theme. Chicago Bears.
I can sing it for you if you want. Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Bear down, Chicago Bears. March down the field all the way to victory. Bear down, Chicago Bears. We're going to fight with the might so fearlessly. You'll never forget the way we thrilled the nation with your T-formation. Bear down, Chicago Bears, and let them know while you're wearing the crown, you're the pride and joy of Illinois. Chicago Bears, bear down.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard on radio.
You're welcome. Oh, wait a minute. I've just been one-upped.
The Super Bowl shuffle.
Yes.
I've never had a problem with the Chicago Bears. I have no beef.
Who could have a beef with the Bears?
I have no beef with the Bears.
No.
And I love Jim McMahon. I watched Jim McMahon at BYU at the Holiday Bowl. I've always been a fan of the funky QB.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you something.
He was great. Jim McMahon was.
That game you're talking about, though, the one in San Diego.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Right, with BYU. He was unbelievable in that game. He was winging it all over the place.
Best part of BYU was seeing it in my rearview mirror when I was leaving.
That's a great quote.
He was the best. So your Bears, 4.5 over the Vikings, and then he likes the Brownies getting 5.5 over the Ravens. The red hot Lamar Jackson Ravens.
He likes the Bears over the Vikings.
He likes the Bears over the. He likes getting the points.
Okay, I got you now.
So you got to remember, it's all about the points.
It is about the points.
So he's just saying whether you win or you lose, you just got to do it by four, by five.
I will say this, and Joe did a solid for a lot of people. I was filling in for him one day, and he sent in his beat the bookie picks, and he said teasing. He gave a game to tease, two games to tease with the 6-point stuff, and it came right in. It was perfect.
Now you want to win, but as long as you don't lose too bad, you win. So if you lose by 3, you're getting 4.5.
Boom. I'll take it. But then you got to play the Vikings in the first week.
You guys are, you know what? As much as we talk offense, and the rules have changed, it's all about offense.
Yep.
Defense travels. And when you got a guy like Khalil Mack coming around the corner, and the way you guys get turnovers,
mm-hmm.
What is the total up at? 26 interceptions?
26 picks.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of picks.
So you can rattle somebody, them behind, make them one-dimensional, and then you can just go after the quarterback because they got to throw it. I don't know, man. Bears could be tough in the postseason.
Well, I hope you're right. I'd like to see them make a good long run. And who knows, maybe I'll show up in Atlanta if they get there. Because I went to the Super Bowl in New Orleans when they won it. I went to the Super Bowl in Miami with my dad. One of the great moments of my life when we saw Devin Hester return the opening kickoff back for the touch. Well, that's probably the single greatest live individual moment I ever witnessed. In the, you know, like we've seen a lot of things on TV, but in the building, it's probably the single most amazing thing I ever saw.
Is that the Prince Super Bowl?
That was the Prince Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. That's like one of the most legendary performances. In the pouring rain,
yeah.
Prince is out there with the Twins.
Yep.
And everybody's like, he's going to either get electrocuted or he's going to slip and hurt himself.
Yep.
And Prince brought it.
Oh, man. He brought an A show in the rain, in the elements. It was fantastic.
You know, when I think of great performers, I think of Prince and I think of the great Tim Roy.
I agree with you on that. I agree. Not in that order that you gave.
I don't know the order, but okay. I think of them. Tim Roy is with us. How are we doing this morning, Tim?
I'm doing good. I'm partying like it's 1999.
Look at him bring it home. So good.
That's my man.
Have you ever seen, like, they actually have a, you can see it on YouTube. You can, and just Google it about Prince. And they have the guys, like the director and the guys around it, and they talk about that performance. Like, they wake up on that Sunday morning, and there's a storm like no other going through Miami, and they're like, right. Oh, my God, this is going to ruin the halftime.
It was really, really impressive. And I'm like, you know, usually the halftime show is what it is. It's hard to do. It's, you know, it's hard to make it really special. But that one is one that is forever in your memory books because that was just really, really on point.
Oh, that was fun. That was a good time. All right. We go from that to, to what happened last night. All right, do we have to talk you off the ledge right now, Tim, after the...
No, I was waiting for you guys to give me the numbers on the Bluebonnet Bowl, but okay.
There you go. The Astro Bluebonnet Bowl.
That was a great bowl back in the day.
By the way,
it was a great bowl game, always on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, you're right. Yep. That was the one New Year's Eve game at the Houston Astrodome, the Astro Bluebonnet Bowl, and that to me was like my signal of, oh, it's New Year's. Yep, I agree with you. Thank you for giving me that remembrance.
Howard David on the Mizzlou Television Network.
Oh, God, you know your stuff. We are.
No, I was a sad little boy.
I was just saying the same. I was going to say that. All three of us are about the same age range. We were all the same little geeks, weren't we?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, exactly. That's why we got into this business. All right,
what
so.
What do you do in New Year's? Tulsa, Mississippi. That's what I'm doing. Here we go.
Who's not? All right, my friend. What's going on over at Oracle with the boys, man? Last night had to be a little bit of a stunner.
It's a stunner, but then, you know, if you look at the recent patterns, it probably isn't a stunner. It's a little bit more the same of what they've been going through. And I think, you know, there's a couple things going on here. And I thought about it in the drive home last night because Steve Kerr, was our coach of record on the coaches show last night. And he said, you know, point blank, he says, you know, the other thing about all of this is the league is better. And I started thinking about that. And, you know, you go back to 14-15. And, you know, the Warriors looked so different. They were so different than everybody else. Spread the floor. You know, they weren't running your standard, you know, 2 million pick and rolls all the time. There was action off the ball. They were getting, you know, layups, and the ball was moving. They're firing for threes. And people say, oh, wow, they're ruining the game. They're changing the game. But now every team has a couple of guys that can knock down threes. Every team is trying to, you know, space and pace a little bit. You know, the Warriors are playing at their fastest pace in the last 5 years, but they're 10th in the league in pace. So I think in a way the league, you know, it's, you know, everybody says, oh, it's a copycat league. Well, they do copy things they like and things that are successful and, you know, adjusted to their personnel. And I think in a way the, you know, the league's a little bit better. And I also think that right now the Warriors just aren't in sync. It looks like almost at times on the floor that you know, they haven't played together before. They're trying to figure out how to play together, and maybe it's the fact that you know, they don't have the comfort zone of familiar fives on the floor, or you know, Draymond Green was quoted last night at the game, says, I just haven't been myself. You know, so I think they're just kind of in this mid-season little funk right now that they just kind of have to slug your way through it until, you know, things start to click.
Yeah, because it wasn't that long ago where there were so many times the Warriors were sitting on the bench, the starters were sitting on the bench throughout the fourth quarter because they were blowing everybody out, and they had that razor's edge. What do you see now, the edge that this team has right now?
Right now, I think they're searching for that edge. Right now, I think they're trying to get to that edge. We see it in little bursts, and I thought Terry Stotts on the Portland side did a great job last night with his timeouts. You know, every time Oracle got going, bang, timeout. Every time the Warriors get, you know, a little bit of a run, you know, they have 7-0 run or 9-0 run in a minute and a half, boom, timeout. So I think they're searching for that, and I think they're trying really hard to find that edge. But I think, you know, for whatever reason right now, they just aren't able to get to that. And I think, you know, teams are defending them, you know, almost, you know, every team is almost defending them the same way, you know. And so they still haven't figured out how they need to attack, you know, the way they're being defended.
Tim Roy joining us here, 95.7 The Game. Tim does a great job calling the Warrior games. And it was a tough one last night after the tough fourth quarter against the Los Angeles Lakers on Christmas Day. Are we fooling ourselves because in our back pocket we keep saying, well, Boogie's coming, and that's going to kind of be the salve that cures some of the ills, whatever the ills can be for a team still tied for the first spot in the Western Conference, but it doesn't seem like the same run for the Warriors. Are we fooling ourselves, or do the Warriors have to find an answer for what's going on with this current group before we can even concern ourselves with what Boogie might or might not be able to bring?
Well, the first thing that Boogie's going to be able to bring is size. You know, last night, Portland, you know, Nurkic, in years gone by, when you have Pachulia, McGee, Bogut, Azili, those guys, you could throw the ball to a Yusuf Nurkic, and nothing against Nurkic. He's a talented player, skilled player. But the Warriors had good defenders down there. And so you could, and guys with size who weren't going to get moved out of the way. And same with Zubats the other night on Christmas Day. So that's the first thing he's going to bring is size. And so I don't think we're fooling ourselves in that regard, that they need a big. There's no question about it. But on the other hand, you know, you hope that no one's waiting for him to show up in order to start to, you know, play the way they need to play, because, you know, that may not be the answer, because that's another learning period that they're going to have to go through. And that's going to take a couple of weeks to get, you know, to figure out how they can play with Cousins. And I think it's going to go well, because Cousins can pass and he's a willing passer. He's always had good assist mark, and he's going to find out that he's going to get a lot of assist on this team just by, you know, being the guy maybe at the high post. But you know, I think that there's no question that Cousins can be an answer in regard to some of their woes right now, just giving them that presence at the five spot.
Yeah, but think about the adjustment for him, though, Tim, is the fact that he's always been the guy. And even in, and we were just talking about it with Coase, that even in New Orleans, he was, you know, there's 1A and 1B, but he's still a 1. Here, right, he's not going to be that guy. How big is that adjustment, especially late in games? I can just imagine him taking a 3 late in game and everybody's going, what are you doing? Give that to Curry. Give that to Durant.
No, I don't think it's going to be as big of a problem as you think, simply because of the two names you just mentioned, Curry and Durant. Okay, most valuable players, finals most valuable players. You know, perennial all-stars, guys that he has played with on Team USA. So I don't think that he's coming in viewing this as, you know, hey, I'm going to be the guy just like normal. I think he's looking at this and saying, okay, they've got their 1A and 1B. You know, I've got to be a 3 or a 2 or a 4 or whatever it might be. I think he's approaching it that way. Because I think, you know, there'll be times where he's going to force up a shot or two, because, you know, it's simply, you know, he's going to say, okay, we need a bucket, and he's going to try to get it. But I think on the whole he's going to be okay, because I think there's a respect level with his teammates here that maybe he didn't have on some of the other teams, you know, that he played on, where he knew he was the best player on the team.
We saw the news earlier today, Patrick McCaw signing the 2-year. It was an offer sheet, right? Because he was restricted, so it's an offer sheet from Cleveland.
Well, yeah, I don't think he signed it yet, but I think he will. He supposedly is going to sign it, and I think they said on Friday. Well, that's today. Oh, sorry.
I know. You know what? That's funny, because it's the NBA season, Tim.
Yeah.
And people don't realize this. When you're in the NBA, Monday through Friday or Sunday to Sunday means nothing. Is it a game day or not a game day?
It's like yesterday felt to me like a Sunday.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like. You know, and so anyway, yeah. So he'll sign that, and then the Warriors can match or waive him. So, you know, that puts a little thing into the, you know, Bob Myers and the front office, and they'll get together and talk about it and decide what they want to do. You know, McCaw was a player that I really think, you know, and I think he's going to get a little bit more money than what the Warriors offered him. I'm not sure about the numbers, but you know, if he had come into camp ready to go, there's no question in my mind he would have been playing a lot of minutes. He would have played a lot early on and would be playing a lot of minutes right now, because he was a player that they could really have used in the first couple months of the season.
Yeah, speaking of minutes, when you look at the box score last night, we're not used to seeing these guys play into the 40s.
No, you know, I think it was overtime, and then B, I think the fact that they were struggling so much at times that, you know, they came back with them a little bit earlier in the fourth quarter for the most part. Curry sat for a little bit because he had played in the third, and Durant then sat for a while. But yeah, they had to play heavy minutes last night, and that's all part of right now. They're not a consistent team, and that's what, you know, they're looking forward to getting to, is that 48-minute game, as you said, that turns out to be about a 33-minute game for the starters, because they're sitting late in the game because they're working on a 25-point lead. Haven't gotten to that yet, and maybe that's not, you know, maybe that's not in the cards this year in the Western Conference. A, because they're getting everybody's A game, and B, because the West is littered with good teams. You know, they're even Phoenix, who's at the bottom of the conference, has won 5 of their last 7. So, you know, it's I think, you know, the last couple of years, there was always a couple of games you could kind of exhale and say, okay, in a couple of games, get the ball moving, get your rhythm back, and you'll be fine. Those games are few and far between this year.
The great Tim Roy joining us, 95.7 The Game. This is off the text line. The 510 says, why not just make KD play center until you get a healthy big going? Don't be afraid to hurt his feelings. Let him play the center and see what happens.
Well, I think I'd be afraid about getting him hurt playing against a guy like Nurkic or someone like that. You know, go back and look at the tape of last night. How does Nurkic make his offensive move? He puts the ball down with his right hand. He lowers his left shoulder and plows his way into you. That's his, you know, to separate you and get some moves. Ask Kevon Looney how that chest feels this morning. No, I don't know if you'd want to put Kevin Durant down there consistently because of the fact of the wear and tear. You know, again, I'd be afraid about getting him hurt down there if he's playing a guy like Nurkic, you know, one night, DeAndre Ayton the next night, and so on and so forth.
What do you make of Clay's struggles?
You know, it's a little surprising. You know, because he's like an NBA shark. You know, swimming, shooting. You know, just keeping. He moves all constantly. He just shoots with no, you know, emotion, no thought about it. He doesn't worry about it, the shots, and eventually, you know, he starts making all these shots. But it's the first time he's had this low of a 3-point percentage in his career. And, you know, for a while I thought, okay, you know, maybe he's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start, but now we're getting to the middle of the season. And I still don't worry about him too much because of what he gives you on the other end. The other thing is, which is funny, is that he's in the top 20 in the NBA in scoring, you know, so he's still, you know, giving you a great two guard performance, but just not to his level. So I don't know if it's confidence or if it's just the shots aren't falling for him this year. I know teams are defending the Warriors a little bit differently than they have in the past, and that may be taking, you know, everybody a little bit out of their comfort zone for the most part. But I still believe that at some point we're going to see Klay Thompson rattle off about five games in a row where he's knocking, you know, shots down. And then I think it'll smooth it out. Now, he may not get his 3% up to the level of what it, you know, has been in the past simply because he takes so many threes. But I still, you know, he's the averages don't lie. Usually the averages are who you are in the NBA. If you're a 17 and 7 guy, that's basically who you are for your career for the most part. And Klay has been very consistent throughout his career, and I think he'll get back to that level.
Do you know what you're doing today at 2:15 this afternoon?
Hopefully, on final approach into Portland, and hopefully landing safely. So
no, you're going to be watching the Camping World Bowl.
Oh, the Camping World Bowl!
And then later tonight, crack open a big one because it's the Valero Alamo Bowl.
I got stock in Valero, so I'm going to watch that.
Wow!
I love it. All right, Tim.
I couldn't believe the Cheez-Its Bowl, really? The Cheez-Its Bowl?
The Cheez-Its Bowl.
We all love Cheez-Its. Don't go ripping Cheez-Its. Look at you. Don't do that. You know you're going to have a bag. You're going to have a bag when you get on the flight today.
I'm going to take my stubby orange fingers and say goodbye.
The Dollar General
that was
Bowl.
Disgusting.
The Jared Birmingham Bowl. I just love bowl season.
Oh, bowl season's great. You got to love bowl season.
All right,
guys. See you.
Have a good flight.
See you, buddy.
The great Tim Roy. All right. I'm on to Kansas City.
Am I alone?
You're alone.
Well,
a little bit later, if you want to get on Facebook and watch Raiders Live on the Facebook page, we'll be talking Raiders.
What time?
Raiders.
I'll do it.
Well, I got to get out of here, so probably around 10:15.
10:15, so I'll friend the Raiders.
Yes.
And then I'll watch you. Who are you talking to? Who are you with?
Eddie Pascal. I have no idea who our guest is.
Sweet. Looking forward to it.
We had to do an MVP. You tell me real quick who you got. So we had to do an MVP, most improved, and biggest story.
All righty. Well, biggest story is pretty obvious. Or are we staying away from the move?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're just talking about players.
Oh, players?
Yeah.
MVP. MVP. Derek Carr or Jared Cook?
I went Cook.
You like to go with Cook?
Yeah.
Derek Carr hadn't thrown an interception 10 games.
I hear you. He's my biggest story.
All right. And then what was the other category?
Most improved.
Most improved? The secondary. Was it Conley?
Conley. I went Conley. All right.
All right. You're on.
Perfect.
Take care. Say goodbye to everyone.
Everybody, goodbye. We'll be back with barbecue stories.
Now back to the other guys filling in for Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We haven't played that liner that says, here's not Joe, Lowe, and Dibs. And I like that they keep going with the Dibs angle on that. Those boys are going to be back, I think, next week. So get yourself geared up and ready to go. How you doing, everybody? Jim Cozumore in for the final half hour of the program. Steiny and Guru, they are right now in the office, in the bullpen, gearing up for a big blazing 2 full hours of conversation. And I'm sure they're going to be meaty on what happened last night at Oracle. And we got some good stuff in the Chilton Autobody text line. 95795. That's the Chilton Autobody text line. This is from the 707. There's no mystery here. The Warriors are simply not hungry right now. And why would they be? They've gorged on the NBA for years now. They are like the guy right after Thanksgiving turkey meal. The regular season is more turkey. The playoffs are dessert. The Warriors are just waiting to stuff themselves again on dessert. You buy into that? Or do you think there's a little something, a crack in the armor teams aren't afraid of? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. How does Steve Kerr look to you? So you look like the same cocksure guy on the sideline, breaking clipboards. And what do you see from him in this probably his biggest chunk of adversity that he's had to work through? I'd like to hear from you on that one on 888-957-9570. Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Gene, you're first up this segment. Jim Cozumore. We had Townie here as well. He's listening, so you can talk to him as well, Gene. What do you want to say about the Golden State Warriors?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, so, well, I wasn't prepared to say anything about how I think Kerr is taking
That's
it,
okay.
Although I would imagine he's handling it well. I think he's a very bright, competent coach, and, you know, this is his chance to really earn his money, and I believe he'll do so.
Sure.
But what I saw last night, I think, is a lot of what we saw last year about this time. It's the middle of the season. They were slowing down. They were tired. I mean, there were times last night when they really looked old and tired, like the end of the first half and a couple of times in the third and fourth periods. You know, I think they need a break.
That's an interesting
That's
assessment.
But the other part is, you know, I think they really tried last night. I didn't see any complacency. I think they played really good defense. But once again, I think the fatigue kind of set in, so that affected their scoring. As far as one of the earlier callers said, time to get rid of Green, I think that would be a recipe for disaster. He leads that defense. He led it last night, and we're going to need him more than ever for the rest of this season. And the better defense they play, the better chance we have to solve Clay's problem, because if we play tight defense. We steal the ball. We have fast breaks. We start hitting Clay in his corner threes where he's most comfortable. I think he'll start getting solving his mechanics, getting his rhythm back, and he'll be fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I like it, Gino. Thanks, man. We appreciate the call. Interesting assessment there. When you tune in to a Warrior game, whether it's here at 95.7 The Game or over at NBC Sports Bay Area, when you tune in now, what's your angst level? I know when I listen, and this happened on Christmas because I jumped in the car. I was at a party. I got in the car, and boom, I'm on 95.7 The Game because I'm a P1, and I'm waiting for Tim to give the score. And he gives the score, and I'm like, whoa, they're down 13? Well, they got plenty of time. They're going to come back. Last night when you tuned in, were you of the thought, like we always have been, you tune in, you just want to see how big are the Warriors beating their opponent by? Usually you kind of figure, man, I'll tell you something, they're going to smoke whoever it is they're playing. Now when I tune in, I'm a little bit more attuned to the score. I'm a little bit more attuned to what's happening on the floor. I'm finding myself listening and watching the game in a little bit more active manner. Before it was passive because I knew they were going to win. Now I'm a little bit more active when I got them on. Renegade in Antioch, you're next, 95.7 The Game. Renegade, thoughts on the Warriors. How do you see them?
Through an ulcer-plated stomach. That's how I see.
There you go.
I have gout and watch the Warriors sometimes. Let me explain something to you. And this is for your listeners. December does matter. I get so mad when I hear somebody, and even Tim Roy, who's one of the best in the business. Well, the NBA is caught up. Now everybody has that type of player. What I hear is excuses. Excuses for lack of execution. And what did McKay say about 40 years ago? What a Warriors execution or the Buccaneers execution? I'm in favor of it. But that's
that was a great line, too, by the way.
The game last night. Thompson looks terrible in his threes. He's floating away. He doesn't look the same. He's dribbling a lot more than he's ever used to. He's still a great finisher. Curry's missed a lot of threes. Draymond can't get it out of his own way sometimes. And everybody's like, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. You know what? The tickets still cost the same. I still pay the same amount of advertising dollars on 95.7 The Game, and people listening to it on the radio.com app. It still costs my company the same to advertise. There is a problem. To say there's not a problem and, oh, they'll get it fixed, that's just putting it off. And come April or May, when they're not winning and they don't advance, people all of a sudden, all the pundits will come out, well, I noticed something back in December. Well, you know what? Renegade's been noticing something for about 90 days. I love the station, but enough excuses. If they're not practicing enough, then practice more. If he's not taking enough shots during practice, practice more. It becomes repetitive. And it just, like I said, I hate to become redundant, but at the end of the day, these games do matter. Not the score, but the way you play, and they're playing like crap. And, Mr. Cozumel, I appreciate the show. Townie, happy New Year to you. I don't know where you're going to be next June, but I know that Renegade and the Warrior is staying in California. I can't go to Texas during this time. The teams here need me too much as it does the area. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Renegade. We do appreciate it. Good text on the Chilton Autobody text line. Dame time in the town was great last night. It was a great thing last night. Dame Lillard came back. There was a good story today on the NBC Sports app. There was a good story on the Dame Lillard knowing how the Warriors leaving Oakland. He's an Oakland kid, right? He's Oakland at heart. He's Oakland through and through. And Lillard went on to talk about how the city of Oakland losing the Warriors, you know, it's really affecting the citizens of that town. That is something you can hang your hat on. And it talks about all the great players who went through Oakland, the Gary Paytons, the Bill Russells, the Paul Silases, guys like that. Some of the great Jason Kidds, guys like that. And Lillard went in to say, quote, they're upset about it. It's one of those things where success comes and you're going to up and move. A lot of the real Warriors fans, a lot of times they can't go to the games. They can't afford it. At that time, we were able to go. This is back when he was a kid. His dad had season tickets. At that time, we were able to go to the games. Nowadays, a really good ticket is way more expensive to do everything. The people who are real Warriors fans aren't able to get into the games. And he feels bad the team's moving to San Francisco because he knows it's going to be even more expensive the next time. So to see Lillard come back to Oakland for the final scheduled time and do what he did. He didn't shoot great, but he had a big shot in the game and get the win. That was pretty interesting, and it's neat to see because he is one of Oakland's own. And if you haven't heard the story about Lillard when the Warriors were working him out, you know, they send a limo to get guys or they get him at the airport. Well, Lillard's Oakland guy. And I think it was Bob Myers who was telling me this story. He said, yeah, so we said, so how'd you get here? He goes, well, I walked over. And he said, well, didn't you get the limo or didn't you, you know, get a cab? Do we reimburse or something? He goes, no, I just walked over. I mean, how casual and relaxed is that guy? He's an Oakland guy. He doesn't put on airs. He knew he was about to land in the NBA and make bank, but the guy wasn't one of these guys. Yeah, put me up in the 5-star hotel, get me the limo, I'll come out and work out. Nope. He's in the hood. I'm walking over. I'm having a good time. I'm going to work out for you. And he has gone on to become one heck of an NBA player, I think all-star caliber, and a great representative for our region and for Oakland specifically. Let me jump on. There was something else on the text line that I had that I wanted to get to, but instead I'm going to get my man Steven in Vallejo. He's 888-957-9570. I asked you about Steve Kerr and what you see from Kerr in this, really the most adversity we've seen him get through as a coach. Personal adversity was the back injury. Basketball adversity, this might be it. Regular season anyway. Steven in Vallejo, how do you see it, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Coach? How's it going?
Doing great, man. Thanks for listening and calling.
So, you know, Kerr, and it's been talked about a little bit, but not a lot, but Kerr's really been tinkering with rotation and the chemistry of the guys on the floor. And earlier in the season, a lot was put on Clay in the second unit. He was supposed to lead the scoring of the second unit, and that's just out of his comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Then Steph and Draymond go down with injury. More scoring is put on Clay's shoulders, and now even more defensive responsibilities on Clay's shoulders. Mm-hmm. Now those guys are back, and Clay's just kind of, he's still trying to figure out his way. I don't know if you noticed last night, actually the last two games, Curry actually started the fourth quarter, which I think he's done maybe twice since Kerr's been coach. And Kerr is still tinkering. And I think a lot of it's experimenting, because I think a lot of it is, hey, we can go in as the ET, we don't really care. But I don't think it's time to really start panicking about these rotations until April.
All right, so he's got to still figure out what he's got. He knows what the core four are. He knows what Andre Iguodala does, and to an extent, how Livingston, he kind of has to protect him. He can't run him out there for 35 minutes each and every night.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's got. So you're seeing, Steven, that he's tinkering with the other pieces to see what the best puzzle piece might be for once you get to March, April, and May.
Yeah, I mean, as you're subbing guys in and out to try to see, okay, what is the best lineup, you know, for the second rotation guys. You know, if I got to give somebody a breather, somebody gets in foul trouble, what piece can I put in to really maximize production out of the guys on the floor? And, you know, a lot's not being talked about the guys that we lost from last two years' teams and these new young pieces we got. You know, Kevon Looney's been really good, but, you know, he's still not that reliable when it comes to scoring points, and his defense sometimes can falter against the bigger guy.
No, someone brought this up the other day. He doesn't have the quick leap. He doesn't have the quick hops underneath the hoop on the putback. Thank you, Steven. Always appreciate you calling. You're a good man. Steven in Vallejo, his line is open right now. This off the text line at the 925. The Warriors are playing entitled, complacent, lazy basketball. Zero focus. When the best shooters are missing bundles of free throws, you simply aren't paying attention. Is that what you see? Is this team maybe a little complacent with where they are? Let's get to F-Man in Alameda. You're next up on 95.7 The Game. F-Man, what do you got? Drop some F-bombs on us, F-Man. What do you got?
Yeah, well, we aren't going to get that bad. It shouldn't be that bad. I mean, I think people need to take a few Xanax here in the Bay Area, because there's 29 other teams in this league, and they circle two or four dates for sure on their calendar, and that's the Warriors, right? They may have another 8 or 10 games during the season that they want to look at, but it's a lot easier for 29 teams to get up for a dozen games than it is for the Warriors to get up for 80. You know, I mean, these guys are tired.
That's fair.
They played 5 seasons in the last 4.
Yep.
I think they're just tired. I think if they don't make the playoffs, then they could start saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, some things went wrong, but you know what? 3 and 4 years? Come on, man. They should get a pass. But, you know, unless they don't make the playoffs, it's everybody's just getting blown out of proportion as far as, you know, the wheels coming off the wagon. It just doesn't make sense, man. They, you know, give them a break. They played a lot of basketball.
Yep. Yeah, that point about them playing 5 years of games in the course of 3 seasons, to me, it speaks a ton, because they played 83 playoff games in the time that they've won these championships. That's an extra season wear and tear.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And all of that is high intense basketball. Do we really expect them to play intense basketball for 80 games and then go win another championship? Can't be done.
Nope.
I'm a working man. I work 5 days a week. I bust my butt for 5 days. I need 2 days just to barely recuperate for Monday. And I come back Monday and I'm still tired.
Yep.
I can't imagine having to run up and down the court.
Yep.
You know, for a few hours, night after night, you know, intense. It just, you know, give them a break. Take a chill, couple Xanax, puff the 420, whatever they need. But
there you go.
Give them a break.
I like it.
They don't make the playoffs.
F-Man dropping the F-bomb. I love it. Good job, F-Man. Have a great weekend.
He didn't really drop the F-bomb, just FYI to any of the listeners that just are tuning in now.
No, he didn't, no, but his takes were, I'm going to call his takes F-bombs. right?
You could call them that.
That was a solid F-bomb
I've
right there.
I've never related to a caller more, though. I agree 100%. You come in 5 days a week, and then you need those 2 days to relax, and you come in Monday, and you're still tired. And these guys have been playing for the last 4 or 5 years into the playoffs every day, and there's so much pressure on them to win. I've never agreed more with a caller.
Really?
Never.
Wow.
Except for the guy who gave me props once on my board hopping skills. That happened once.
You have solid board hopping skills. You also do a solid job of filling in on the pregame show whenever Kolsky has to fill in on another show.
Oh, thanks for the plug. 5 to 6 a.m., the pregame show with Matt Kolsky.
Nobody loves the pregame show like I love the pregame show. Huge fan.
Yeah, what's your favorite part on the Friday? Do you know what we do on the Fridays?
More ganj than you do on Thursday.
We do the pop quiz on Fridays, Cousin. Uh-huh. Pop quiz Friday is what we do on the pregame show.
What was our quiz today?
I forgot the four questions already.
The
There's
dizzle.
Always two Niners questions, two Raiders questions, and we've actually been doing this all season long, so up to week 17 now, and we've gotten probably like 10 to 15 regular contestants.
That's awesome.
And we're going to give away a prize at the end of the season.
There is nothing
pop quiz,
like,
hot shot.
There you go.
There's nothing like appointment radio. When you start doing a pop quiz Friday, people know it, and they start glomming on.
Are you sure you're not one of the, you don't have like an alias and you're tuning in every week just to answer the pop quiz questions? You sure you're not doing that?
I get up to go to the bathroom in the 5 o'clock hour, so I tune in. And I listen.
There's a J-Man in Fairfield. I don't know if you're under that alias or not.
I've been in Fairfield before. Not at 5 in the morning, but I've been in Fairfield. We've got more phone calls to get to. We did have a text that someone wanted to know Joe's the picks. Beat the bookie.
You got them right there?
I've got them right here, and I can get into those.
Well, feel free to read them.
Just to let the Warrior fans know, Patrick McCaw signed a... or is reportedly going to sign an offer sheet or a 2-year, $6 million offer sheet with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so the Warriors are on the clock with what they should do. I'd love to hear. Can't wait to hear what Steiny and Guru say about that. Should the Warriors match it? Should they forget about that? Has that already run away? That ship sailed. Robert in the city, you're next up. We're coming down the home stretch here on Joe Lowe and Dibs without Joe Lowe and Dibs. Robert, what do the Warriors need right now?
Hey, fellas, good morning. We need a big man. Don't sign McCaw. Let him go. He ain't going to give us any help. Go out there and get Robin Lopez at the veterans minimum. He'll make up that little bit of, you know, tenacity and, you know, that, I guess, that meanness that we lack. No, we don't have anymore with Zaza gone. And I wasn't a big Zaza fan, but he did give us that presence in the middle. People, he clogged it up. He set big screens, big picks. People would come down there. And then we lost JaVale. I mean, that guy was a spark plug off the bench. We just have no big, really, right now. And Boogie, there's no telling when he's going to come back. We were told Christmas. Now it's New Year's. Now it's February. We don't know when he's coming back. So go out there and get Robin Lopez for the veterans minimum. And he's at least going to give you some defense. He's going to give you 6 hard fouls. And they're going to make people think about coming through that middle.
Yep, I agree with you. That's a name, Robert. I totally agree with you. When you look at what could be out there, he could be a buyout option with the Bulls. Man, if I'm Bob Myers, I have got Lopez on speed dial, and I got to get ready for that. All right, we're coming down the home stretch here. I got about 2.5 minutes to go. 925 said the Warriors should match for McCaw. They need a reliable backup. They've got a weak bench. Beat the bookie. Are you ready? This is what Joe had to say. Beat the bookie. Take Alabama, given 14 to Oklahoma. Bonus play, take Alabama, the team total over 46. He thinks they're going to put it on Oklahoma. So you got Oklahoma minus 14, plus take Oklahoma, the team total over 46. He says take Clemson, giving 12.5 to Notre Dame. He also has the Missouri-Oklahoma State over. 74 is the total points. Go with the over on that game. UCF is getting 7.5 over LSU. He said take Ohio State, giving 6.5 to Washington in their game. And then you've got Texas getting 13 points, take them over Georgia. That's interesting. Wow, I think Georgia's a pretty darn good team. In the National Football League, the Bills giving 4.5 to the Dolphins, take Buffalo. The Chicago Bears go to Minnesota. The Bears are getting 4.5, take the Bears. And the Cleveland Browns taking on Baltimore. Maybe if they're not the hottest, they're in the discussion for hottest team going. The Ravens are, I say. But the Browns getting 5.5. My man Joe Fortenbaugh says, take the Cleveland Browns with Baker Mayfield. That is going to do it for me. And the question on the text line, the 209, is Robin Lopez available? No, but a buyout option when the buyout options happen in March. Robin Lopez with the Bulls right now. Many are saying the Bulls could look to get rid of him. All right. That is going to do it for us here today on the Joe Lowe and Dibs program. Steiny and Guru coming straight ahead after the Warrior game last night. They are going to be great to listen to today, so you don't want to miss any of that. We want to thank everyone that we had on today as guests. Who do we have on today, nice guy Steven? Mark Purdy in the 7 o'clock hour.
Mark Purdy at 7. J.B. Long, Rams play-by-play voice at 7:45. We had the saintly one at 8:30 to make our Fridays a little bit better. Then Tim Roy at 9:10.
All righty, that was a pretty good guest lineup you guys put together.
It was
today.
A solid one. Have you seen this the shtick that Robin Lopez has, by the way? I don't know if he still does this, but when he goes to away arenas...
Did you say shtick?
Shtick,
okay.
Is what I said. Is that a thing? Is that still a thing?
No, it is. I thought you said something else. You said you see something else of Robin Lopez. But you said shtick. I'm sorry. Sorry.
But he attacks the opposing mascot. He always has he has the vendettas out on the opposing mascots. I love that.
That was a thing.
It was a thing. Is it still a thing? I don't know.
I'm personal friends with Slamson, the Kings mascot. I will ask Slamson the next time I see him.
Slamson, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool look. Slamson, lion. Slamson, the lion. And the Kings and the Warriors, January 5th. I'm telling you, if you guys want to do yourselves a favor, Warriors fans, get some tickets, go up to Golden One Center. It's a great way to see that great rivalry. I'm calling it a rivalry now that both teams are good. That's going to do it for Chris Townsend. I'm Jim Cozumel. Steiny and Guru on the way on 95.7 The Game.